You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Be here every week and tell your friends about it. Well, look, let's take a moment and listen to this with me. I love that hymn. That, of course, was the Battle Hymn of the Republic, sung by the U.S. Naval Academy Glee Club. They were singing at the beginning of the inaugural ceremony in the U.S. Capitol, in the rotunda in the Capitol. Now, do you know the story of the Battle Hymn of the Republic? I hope you do, but if not, I'm going to share it with you because it sort of gets to the point of what I wanted to talk to you about today. The Battle Hymn of the Republic was written in 1861 by Julia Ward Howe. She was visiting Washington, D.C. It's obviously right in the middle of the Civil War. And she came to Washington to visit the troops. So during the particular day she wrote this, she had gone around the outer perimeter of Washington, D.C., where Northern troops were stationed. They were sitting around campfires, and they were singing and talking and so forth. She was deeply moved by what she saw and heard. Later that night, she was taken back to Washington, D.C., where she stayed at one of the hotels here in Washington, just a few blocks away from the White House. She later told people that in the middle of the night, she woke with a start. There were lyrics going through her head, and she knew that what she was thinking was important. So she grabbed some parchment and a pen, and she wrote as quickly as she could. And when she was finished feverishly writing, she laid back down and went right back to sleep. The next morning, she woke up, and she read the words on the parchment. And the words she read were the words you were hearing sung just a few minutes ago. She later told some folks that she was close to that she really felt like she was taking dictation, that she hadn't authored these words at all, that the words were given to her. Many Americans believe that the words were given to her by God Himself, that this was an inspired hymn. And of course, the hymn has become an American favorite, and it's been sung at events throughout our history from 1861 all the way up until today. You know, when the Glee Club was singing that incredible, wonderful American hymn, there were a lot of big shots in the room, presidents and senators, future appointees and past appointees, leaders of other countries, senators, congressmen. But one could argue, and I certainly will contend, that the most powerful force in the room were not any of those men and women. That most powerful force was the God of the Bible, the God that many believe inspired the writing of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. As the ceremony progressed in the rotunda of the United States Capitol, a number of prayers were offered. The first one was offered by Cardinal Timothy Dolan of the New York Archdiocese. And in that prayer, interestingly enough, Cardinal Dolan reminded the audience of God's presence throughout American history. He started by talking about General George Washington on his knees at Valley Forge. He recalled Abraham Lincoln speaking at his second inaugural, "With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right." Dolan even brought up, and this was kind of an unlikely selection, but Dolan brought up General George Patton and his instructions to his soldiers as they began the Battle of the Bulge 8 decades ago. Now, Patton was known for being a pretty gruff guy and sometimes a guy that used some profane language. But as he prepared to lead his men into battle, at the Battle of the Bulge, a battle, by the way, if you're not familiar with it, take a second and read a little bit about it. Thousands and thousands of Americans died in that battle. This was after D-Day. This was after we had advanced into Europe. The Germans counterattacked. Our Air Force was grounded by bad weather. Our soldiers were going into battle by an angry Nazi Germany and Hitler, who ordered this attack. And Patton brought his men together and said, "Pray. Pray when fighting. Pray alone. Pray with others. Pray by night. Pray by day." Dolan wanted to remind the audience of who Patton went to in a moment of trouble. Dolan talked about briefly the Reverend Martin Luther King, a bust of whom is in the rotunda. King, who warned, "Without God," he said, "our efforts turn to ashes." The Dolan prayer was beautiful. He ends it with these words, "Please, God, bless America. Please mend her every flaw. You are the God in whom we trust, who lives and reigns forever and ever." Next up was the Reverend Franklin Graham. You know, both Dolan and even more so Franklin Graham have become confidants and in some ways unofficial advisors to President Trump. President Trump has joked that Reverend Graham has urged him to try to clean up his language a little bit. And President Trump tells that story and laughs and says, I'm trying. You know, Graham's prayer was powerful. And I don't want to quote it. I want you to hear it as the people in that room and as President Trump and outgoing President Biden, as they heard it. Let's listen to Graham in his own voice.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, thou hast said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." As the prophet Daniel prayed, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." Our Father, today, as President Donald J. Trump takes the oath of office once again, we come to say thank you, O Lord our God. Father, when Donald Trump's enemies thought he was down and out, you and you alone saved his life and raised him up with strength and power by your mighty hand. We pray for President Trump that you'll watch over, protect, guide, direct him. Give him your wisdom from your throne on high. We ask that you would bless him and that our nation would be blessed through him. We also ask that you would bless and protect Melania as First Lady. We thank you for the beauty, the warmth, and grace that she shows not only to this nation, but to the whole world. We thank you for Vice President-elect J.D. Vance and his wife Usha and their young family. May he be a strength to President Trump, to stand beside him, to hold up his arms like Aaron held up the arms of Moses in the midst of battle. The prophet Samuel reminded the people, it was you that brought them up from the land of Egypt. And he said, now stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord. So, Father, we take this moment to stand still, to remember the great things that you have done for this nation. Thank you for the protection, the bounty, the freedoms that we so enjoy. We remember to keep our eyes fixed on you, and may our hearts be inclined to your voice. We know that America can never be great again if we turn our backs on you. We ask for your help, and we pray all of this in the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, your Son, my Savior, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You know, as I was watching this in the rotunda, I couldn't help but look at President Biden and Vice President Harris. You know, they, as the outgoing president and vice president, obviously would be in a different mood than President Trump and Vice President Vance were as they were coming into power. But I wondered about what Biden and Harris were thinking for another reason. What was going through their minds? Because their administration had been at war with religious liberty, the very religious liberty that was on display in the rotunda during these public prayers. The Biden-Harris administration tried all 4 years to get Christians to bow to the LGBTQ ideology. They sued religious ministries. At one point, they were suing the Little Sisters of the Poor, again, over the issue of LGBTQ rights and the issue of abortion. And speaking of abortion, the Biden-Harris administration spent more time and money promoting the taking of innocent human life created by God than any administration in the history of our country. President Biden, I still can't figure this one out. President Biden, as all modern presidents have, in fact, it goes back quite a bit in our history, issued proclamations each year, proclamations recognizing Thanksgiving, recognizing Christmas, recognizing Easter. And in many cases, in those proclamations, the word God was never mentioned, let alone the word Jesus. Were either of them having any regrets as they heard these powerful prayers and listened to that powerful hymn, the battle hymn of the Republic? You know, radical secularists do not like any of the things that took place in the rotunda. They don't like these public displays of faith. They don't like public prayers at government-sponsored events. They wouldn't have been happy about glee clubs singing an American hymn. They don't like oaths taken on the Bible. They would remove all of those things, even though those things have all been part of American history from our very beginning. You know, there's something else. Let's say they were able to do that. Let's say that some president comes into office and he decides no hymns will be sung, no public prayers will be given, no oath will be taken on the Bible. Even that would not be enough because the rotunda itself has symbols of American history and our reliance on God all over it. And if anybody in the room would have taken the time, and maybe some people did, I think most of them were looking at the dais. They were looking at the outgoing president and the incoming president. I'm not sure many of them were looking up at the ceiling of the rotunda. If they did, they would have seen a fresco there depicting George Washington, our first president, who gave in his presidency and in his first inaugural address, he gave all credit to God for the success of the American Revolution. And this fresco on the ceiling of the rotunda shows George Washington ascending into heaven, looking down on us in the hope that we will do what is necessary in order to preserve the American Republic. And he believed with all of his heart that it would only be preserved if it was built on a foundation of faith in God. So you'd have to remove the fresco because that's a violation of the separation of church and state to the radical secularists. But even that wouldn't be enough. On one wall of the rotunda hangs the painting Embarkation of the Pilgrims, showing those faithful men and women about to pray to God for divine protection as they set off on the dangerous journey to the New World. At the center of the painting is their leader, William Brewster, holding an open Bible. And we know from the history of the Pilgrims and the Puritans, they left diaries, they wrote many different things about what their motivation was. Their motivation was to plant the cross of Jesus Christ in the New World. That's why they came. That's why they crossed the dangerous waters. Another painting in the rotunda depicts the moment on June 28, 1776, when the first draft of the Declaration of Independence was presented at the Second Continental Congress. This is the Declaration of Independence that asserts, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, among these the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That Declaration of Independence states the creed of the American Republic that one president was leaving during the inaugural and another president coming into office for his second term. That painting captures one of the most important moments in American history when our founders declared that our liberty does not come from government, but it comes from God. Look, and it's not just the rotunda. Virtually all of the ornate buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. have etched on them the words that make it clear that our liberty doesn't come from faceless bureaucrats or woke politicians, but from the God of Abraham. So if you watched all of this on Inauguration Day, all these historic moments, all of these references to God, if you were in the room and looked around, you would see them every place. So when we remind ourselves about our reliance throughout all of our history, were the founders fools? Was George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers, were they all simply believers in superstition? Were they violating the very Constitution they wrote when they regularly prayed to God? I don't think so. I think the fools are those who want to rip us away from the rich soil of Judeo-Christian civilization. You know, those of us at JDFI, we are excited about the incoming administration. We're looking forward to working with them on public policies that promote faith, family, and freedom. But we also know that America needs more than a good president that's committed to religious liberty. We also need to turn our hearts back to God. America's not going to be great again unless we're godly again. And JDFI and Dr. Dobson and our whole team is dedicated to not only good public policy, but we're dedicated also to use every resource we have to get America to be a shining city on a hill again by turning our hearts back to the God of the Bible, the God that our founders said was the author of our liberty. Well, as we leave the inaugural and go back to our busy days, I want to close with a little bit more of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Perhaps, the most important part of that American hymn. As we leave our time together today, please pray for America. Pray for the James Dobson Family Institute and our team as we work to preserve and protect religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and strengthening American families. Listen to these closing words of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Christ was born across the sea. With the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.